This is the Dangerous Men United podcast, where we fight for all young men to be free. We appreciate you being here. I'm Lowell Seashore. I'm with Grant, Caleb, and Shay. And we're going to talk about how Dangerous Men has affected you in your lives. What has it meant to you? How has it changed you? The concepts. Just to say it off right away, is Dangerous Men does not change us. The Holy Spirit changes us. Mm-hmm. Jesus and the Holy Spirit uses the information or the concepts in Dangerous Men to help you get there.
And where do you get the concepts?
Oh, I actually got them out of the Bible.
Oh, dang. Yeah. I've read that book once. It's a good spot.
Yeah. Okay. So let's hear. How has the concepts in Dangerous Men helped you? And maybe start from when you first started, and then we'll talk about marriage after that.
Man, starting. Identity is huge. Chapter 1 was the biggest thing that changed me. Caleb, I was a people pleaser and I still struggle with that. And my identity was really wrapped up in how people see me, specifically in regards to sports and girls. And when I did well in sports, I thought I was like the king of the world. And when I would screw up, I would question like who I am, like, what is my purpose here in life? I'm worthless. I am no good. I should quit. Or when the girl didn't like me, I was just emotionally a wreck. And so I had these roller coaster highs and lows all the time. And I was making decisions on emotional irrationality and without logic, because it was just all based on trying to get people to like me or be liked or fit in. And when I started to learn that it doesn't matter how well I do or don't do at a sporting event or if the girl likes me or not, Jesus loves me immensely. It took a little bit to set in. And it took a little bit of practice, but then I started to realize I don't need to make decisions based on crazy emotions. I can like look at the facts and look at what God says about me. And what does he say? That I'm his boy. I'm his warrior. And he loves me no matter what. And I was able to live into that lifestyle, which is really incredibly changing for me.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, I think the underlying thing that really changed me was the identity aspect. But I don't think I realized it right away. I think
because, takes practice.
Yeah, I think so much of when I first encountered Dangerous Men in high school, my senior year, I was wrapped so much in all of the shame and the lies that Satan was telling me of how bad I was because of my sin that no one else knew about.
The lust of masturbating.
Yeah. Yes. That stuff. But I was so wrapped up in that shame and thinking I was never going to be able to have victory, thinking that I was the only one with those problems. And so the freedom that having a bunch of other guys around me that were struggling with the exact same things that I was, were having the same lustful thoughts.
And porn.
And watching porn all the time. There's so much freedom in just knowing that there's this crew of guys that had the same struggles, but were wanting victory, and there were guys that had victory because I hadn't encountered people who legitimately had any sort of victory that were honest about it, because everyone else was either they didn't struggle with it or they just tried hard enough and overcame it that way. And I had tried so many times and so hard in my life that I was like, well, I can't do it. So that was the most freeing thing for me.
Yeah. I had a kid tell me once, he goes, I didn't struggle with porn until I came to know Jesus. Because before I thought it was just fine, everybody did it. And I come to know Jesus, and I struggle with it because I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, for me, I think the biggest thing was learning about accountability. But obviously, I struggled very consistently with masturbating and watching porn. But I never told anybody, and I just kind of tried to white knuckle it on my own and figure it out, and it just didn't work out well at all. So Dangerous Men taught me that the necessity of accountability partner, and then through that process, I learned all these different strategies and techniques to fight offensively and defensively. So defensively, things like scheduling when I masturbate, like once a week on a Wednesday, so it's not just controlled by emotion. It's controlled by when I say with me. And then offensively, which would be fighting spiritually at the thought level. So when I get a lustful thought in my mind, I renounce it in Jesus' name and accept truth and do that consistently. And that absolutely changed the game for me.
And other defensive things is like putting a filter on your computer. Yep. And and you know, not having your phone with you at night or something, or whatever you need to do. That one of the biggest concepts I think that is in the book as far as practical goes is truth and lie statements. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, truth and lie statements are absolutely like paramount. And Grant was starting to get at it earlier with one of his big changes about the enemy coming at you, like you're the one who struggles with this, and you're a terrible Christian because you do these things. And the attacks were the same for me. If I made an error in baseball, it's like, oh, you're a terrible person. Like, why are you even in existence? Like, you're terrible. The girl doesn't like you. What's the point of you being here? Or like, who are you? And the enemy uses these lies, and they start to become strongholds where I actually think they're true. And so it's important to remember what the truth is and what God says. So for me, it was huge. And the truth and lie statement is something that takes practice. Starting by using, in the name of Jesus, I reject the lie. And then you have to figure out what the lie is. Okay, well, the lie, if I make an error in baseball, isn't that I'm a terrible baseball player and I should never play the game.
Or a terrible
person. Like, it becomes like the enemy will often use a personal attack against my who I am. And so it's like, okay, I reject the lie in the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus has authority, that I'm a terrible baseball player and that I'm a terrible person because I made an error. And then you got to fill in the truth. You got to replace it with the truth. And it's like, okay, and I accept the truth that God loves me no matter what, and that I work really hard at this game, and I love this game. And what happened was my attitude shifted after that statement on the baseball field. And then when I'd have an at-bat in the other half inning, I wasn't coming from this emotional place of trauma, and I wouldn't be swinging at terrible pitches. Like, I was able to think rationally, or I was in that same inning, I was ready for the next ground ball and excited to field it, instead of like, oh, please, God, I don't want another ground ball. Oh no, I'm gonna make an error.
Really get your identity. It helped you get your identity straight in those things with that truth or lie statement.
Yeah, and so, it took practice.
Yeah,
You got to do it, and you got to do it out loud, because for years I trained my brain just to have those thoughts in my head, those lies just kind of go through, and they became strongholds or truths to me. And so for years I've been doing that. So I've been doing these truth and lie statements for a number of years now, since going through Dangerous Men. And it's so like, it takes a lot of practice and takes a lot of time, but it's really healthy.
Yeah. I still do them probably 5, 10, 15, 20 times a day, just 'cause I'm a screwed up guy. A lot of screwed up thoughts.
Come on, Shay, pick it up.
Yeah, so it's in the name of Jesus, I reject the lie that, and I accept the truth that. And out loud is important.
Lust wants to take at the expense of others,
yeah.
And love wants to give at the expense of self. And when I started learning that through Dangerous Men, it changes how I interact with any girl. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, instead of wanting to lust after this girl, my girlfriend in the back of my mind, it's like, no. That's not going to help our relationship. It's not going to help her. She's not going to feel loved by that. And, you know, the difference maker is learning to have that sexual experience of, like, being aroused around her, and learning that it's an okay thing. Like my body's right. Acting and responding in a way that I was created to, but also, like, channeling it into a sense of, like, I'm going to love, and I'm not going to lust, and I'm not going to go there to a lustful thing. And it's another great question that we answer in our dating video. How far is too far? And those stupid questions. It's just like guys ask all the time, like, oh, well, you know, is a hand job too far? Or is, you know, holding hands is okay, making out's okay, but not if we like touch each other's butts. It's like dumb question, because it's all based on like how much action you can get or sensation you can get. It's not based on how much love you can give.
And the real question should be?
How pure is too pure?
Thanks for listening. Go to dangerousmenunited.org, where you can purchase the book, which is a small group curriculum, and there's a lot of other resources on the website. And don't forget, be a man to men, a warrior to demons, and always God's boy.